is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
To 2020. I know a lot of people who are delighted and are thinking that just because the calendar has changed, all will be well in the world. Well, I don't think that's the reason, but I am pretty well banking on all being well with the world eventually. I could be wrong, but it is amazing how many people have jumped ship, given up hope, for a host of reasons. I've written about it, I've talked about it, and even people that I really respect have called for Trump to concede. This is what Republicans do, don't they? They snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. Thank God they're not in control and Trump is. Welcome, Happy New Year, and welcome to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. And I am raring to go. I came up with a motto. I spent a lot of time this morning on social media. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Got to do that on Twitter. I mean, on Parler and all the rest of them. I'm trying to switch over, which I hope all of you will. MeWe, Parler, and Gab I'm on. And as I was discussing with some people on social media, some people did something, right? I came up with a motto. This is what I fervently hope for the new year. Let justice be done in 2021. It's only just a wonderful coincidence that that happens to rhyme. There's so much we are hoping for, praying for, longing for. I can tell you from my own perspective, I'm hoping and praying and longing for an America I can recognize again. I'm longing for an America in which I feel at ease that our government is now to get us out to get law-abiding citizens while they incite criminality and reward it by not holding criminals accountable, characterizing them as victims instead of the victimizers of others. I'm looking forward to politicians and representatives. I'm just doing this sort of at the top of my head. Not imposing their will upon us instead of representing us with our consent. We did not give consent to turn this country into a communist nightmare. As a matter of fact, we have a good many spectacular heroes that are in cemeteries here and abroad who gave their lives so that this country would not be communist. Yes, there were disagreements about some of those wars, but those men and women gave their lives so America would be free. And what are we watching today? Something my parents would never have imagined. And that is the forceful, corrupt takeover of the greatest country designed for liberty and freedom this world has probably ever known. And we are being attacked from within by our own fellow citizens who have sold out this country to a hostile foreign power. Now, if I took what I just told you, if I took the tape of that and I played it back, I would think I was living in an alternate universe. As a matter of fact, I've been complaining that we are living in an alternate universe for quite some time now. What we're watching is the culmination of decades of planning to take over this country. And there's motive even with that, because America, as I have said, stands in the way of not just the evil people's plan for America, which they hate, But America has stood in the way of one world globalist, communism, socialism. I'm not going to get into a big debate about the difference. What's the difference? Trevor Loudon, what's the difference between socialism and communism? About 5 years. And don't ever forget it. So at its very core, communism is about force. That any young person, that any American citizen would think that communism, socialism, government by force, government by fiat is acceptable. It is an acceptable alternative to a free market system that reveres free speech, free exercise of religion, free assembly, honest voting, how about that, and the right to bear arms, to defend one's family, a law-abiding citizen defending himself and his family. To think that the opposite of all that, plus so much more, is preferable, is offensive on its face. It's outrageous. And yet, conservatives don't go about shutting down people they disagree with. No, we want more speech, more enlightenment. The most evil ideas should be, one should shine a light on them. And it is amazing with my little foray into social media this morning. I spend a fair amount of time on it because it's interesting to interact with people. But the number of people who really dismiss this voter fraud out of hand, and they just claim it's not true. They can't cite evidence, but they demand more and more and more and more evidence from us. When we produce it, not we, I don't take credit for it, but when witness after witness after witness and videos, I mean, if you have clear video of people cheating and fraud, they still wouldn't believe it. They still wouldn't accept it. They'd still say it's a lie. And, you know, there's one talk show host that I know. As a matter of fact, it's his producer that I've been interacting with partly, who's famous for saying, it's your mouth, you can haul coal in it for all I care. So you get to believe whatever you want, but that don't make it true. So I'm interested in the truth, and if I'm wrong, I will pay off my bets, and I know that the world will be, the loss will have been so much greater than any bet that I made. And I didn't make very many. But here's why I believe Donald Trump will prevail. He's been many steps ahead of these corruptors for a long time. It's hard to know what to call them anymore because there's many varieties, many flavors of people who've been zombified. They've made the Faustian bargain to sell out their own country thinking that they somehow will survive. And how did they do it? That's among the many heartbreaking things about what we've been watching, because it was easy to corrupt them. That's how corrupt our culture has become, that sexual improprieties and deviances is just explained away. Bad behavior, bad character were all the precursors of softening America for a takeover. And look how easy it almost is. And thank God I'm saying almost. Even the public, they willingly put the masks on, not even having any evidence for doing so, just out of either fear or the path of least resistance, or because they just didn't want much trouble. That's the path of least resistance. Or because, well, that's the new fad, so we got to follow the fad. Never, ever thinking about what the masks symbolize, about what forcing, and that's the word, that is the big word, forcing an entire country, most of it, to stick a rag on their face so we all look alike, act alike, behave alike, and take orders alike. That got to my very gut the minute I saw it. Now, you know, again, not only is it your mouth, you can haul coal in it if you want. It's your face. If you want to cover it up and look down at your feet and take orders from corrupt politicians and unelected bureaucrats who have no right to take your God-given liberties away, the only way they can take them away is if you let them. And look at the number of people who have. Now, they don't see it that way. They think they're free. That don't make it true. All right? So I'm fine if 99% of the public chooses to be buffaloed into believing a rag is going to protect them from a virus that's 99.8-something% non-lethal, and that, you know, they're not getting a virus like the flu is the worst thing that ever happened to them. No, actually, the worst thing that could happen to them is for them to lose their liberties and not even know it, and for the country to fall to communism without even knowing it. Thank God we have Donald Trump. Now, I've never been the most religious person in the world. I don't even know what that means, religiosity exactly. But for Donald Trump to have come to the Oval Office in the nick of time when this country was just about ready to fall. Now, you may say, how is it that we're even closer? It appears it's more ugly than we ever thought, because Donald Trump has gone about exposing what's been going on all along. I do believe that that is the reason he decided to run. He said so. He told us. He said, if it ever gets so bad that nobody else could fix it, then I'll run. Well, I believe he's been privy to the deep state, to the ugliness, to the even the Great Reset, and all the things that have these cute little buzzwords that can't possibly explain just how awful and evil they really are. Okay? So that's my comment for the moment. We have a wonderful guest coming up. In fact, in some respects, she's one of my bosses. She owns and is a part of Main Street Radio Network. She is also a talk show host in her own right, and she's an opinionated and fun lady to talk to. Her name is Jane Silk. I'll be giving her a full introduction when we return. So we're going to take a quick break right now. Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off, and I just did. Stay tuned. We'll have a lot more when we come back.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at KStarRadioNetwork.com.
Well, Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline, and it is January 1st, 2021. And as I just said, my motto for today and possibly for the whole year will be let justice be done in 2021. I am honored and delighted to have with us, and she is my only guest, she'll be with us a couple of segments, is Jane Silk. And she is the founder of Main Street Radio Network, which I'm sure you've heard me talk about incessantly because I'm proud to be a part of their team, to be a regular fill-in host for the wonderful Alan Nathan, who happens to be Jane's husband. Jane has been both a national host and head of business development for Radio America. And if I told you her whole bio, I wouldn't have any time to talk to her, but she did spend 13 years abroad. She began her broadcast career in the Middle East and Europe, and while there, she witnessed coups, terrorism, cultural clashes, experiences that have forged a philosophy of respecting and holding accountable other people, and we hope that the bad guys are going to be held accountable. Welcome to Spouting Off, Jane Silk.
Karen, wow. I mean, I don't know. Could I have done better myself?
Of course you could.
No, well, thank you so much for the wonderful introduction, really, truly. Well, you know, my motto for this year is stand up, be counted. We have too many slogan followers and not enough knowledge seekers, and I will give my husband credit for that one. I think it's a brilliant little short ditty right there, but it's true. A lot of people get their news right now from a couple few sources. We already know the mainstream media is manipulated by big tech as well as very powerful left-wing, maybe you could say oligarchs for all I know, you know, because they come from all different parts. We have Russian influence, Iranian influence, Chinese influence, and goodness knows what is inside the inner workings of top management of these media companies and these tech companies. We don't know exactly who they're in bed with, but we do know, based on evidence from our Director of National Intelligence and cybersecurity experts, that we have had hacking, we have had interference, and it's just, it's not just now. You know, years ago, the previous administration, along with Hillary Rodham Clinton, thought that the world was hacking into her and it was the Republicans doing it and they were the ones that, you know, were giving out this fear-mongering and this misinformation. But most people with a working cardiovascular system and an elevator that goes to the top would realize that no. What happened was this smokescreen, this ruse to try to get someone with A, no political experience, too much bravado, a little bit of a carnival barker, you know, a television mogul, real estate mogul, and I'm talking about the current President Trump. To tell you honestly, I didn't vote for the man the first time. I always thought we should have a business person in the White House. I didn't think that our government should be treated like a political machine. Our government has no business being in business. But we need a businessman because only somebody, well, even like myself, who knows how to take chaos and turn it into organization, you need somebody to trim, streamline, and also hold accountable these agencies that suck the taxpayer tit day in, day out to the tune of close to 2 million workers, okay? The government workforce has now become bigger than the private. It's almost like, okay, you want to go into the, when I say bigger, I mean better pay, better benefits, and, you know, not getting held accountable. I mean, you know, Cleveland Board Education v. Loudermill, your listeners should go to that. It's a very, it's something in a Cliff Note version. What it is the Supreme Court ruled, I believe it was 1985, that government workers can pretty much hold their jobs as property. which means you can't kick them out. Now, exactly. This is what the Supreme Court did to the people of this country. You know, it's disgusting. So
let's back up a little, Jane, if we could. Forgive me for interrupting, but you know, you dropped so many wonderful little enticements there. You say that you sort of thought of Donald Trump as a carnival barker.
Well, he was. And, come on, let's face it. I mean, you know, the man before, you know, with his apprentice, which I never watched, and all the other, you know, he was a little bit of a bravado, a showman, and what have you. And I guess in television, you have to be.
That gave, I think that gave a fabulous insight into his executive management style. But what I wanted to know is, and I disagree, I am continually amazed. Well, I liked Donald Trump almost immediately. At first, I went, what? But I was an early supporter of Donald Trump. But a lot of it was because I knew what the alternative was, Hillary Clinton and others.
Well,
and
yes, no, absolutely. Absolutely. But, I mean, she was a crook. And, to know Hillary is to forgive Bill, or try to, at least.
Here's my question. So that's how you started with Donald Trump. What do you think of him now?
Now, first of all, even with Obama, I couldn't stand the man. Couldn't stand him. I think he would go down and will go down in my book as one of the most divisive, racist, piece of crap presidents we've ever had in our history.
Between
Jimmy Carter until the last Bush, useless piece of crap as well, that man put on more debt in this country than all those presidents combined. A fact. Anybody disagree with me, please look it up. I don't have time to give you all the, you know, all the URLs to go to it. But the man, although he was my President Obama and I disagreed, I made sure I disagreed, and I made sure on the air or in my writings or whatnot that I said why I disagreed and backing it up with facts. It's one thing about opining. It's one thing about trying to get people to change their minds, you know, based on an opinion. That's hard to do. That's more of a follower than a leader. I like to lead. I don't like to follow. I'll never follow anybody off a bridge. I'll never belong to a political party. I'm too much of an independent thinker, independent soul. Now, it doesn't matter to me what party somebody belongs to. It matters to me what that person is as a person, what I can glean from all my research of that person. Is that person a decent human being, and will that person do the best for this country? Now, after he was hired, the first thing he did, I like the fact that he said, I'm not taking a salary. So for the last 4 years, this man has donated $400,000 a year. So he's donated $1.6 million in the last 4 years to agencies that need it or haven't had funding for opportunities for these agencies or people or what have you. Amazing. What other president bothered doing that? Even presidents like George Bush, who, you know, Mr. Oil Man, plenty of money. Did he really need his salary? Did that salary keep him from the poorhouse? No. Okay, so here this man did that. I wanted him to do something about immigration. I've been a tax hawk and an immigration hawk for decades. I truly believe I used to live in the Middle East, and I saw what the wall did in the West Bank. It stopped at 95% of the terror attacks, okay? Now, maybe in the beginning it was a little hard because while they were building it and people couldn't cross over, some of the business was stymied on those borders of both both sides of the wall, but soon it was over. Business is back to usual. The only difference is 95% of this terror attack. And as somebody who lived in the Middle East and knows what it likes to every other day to hear the sirens go off because you've got to go to a bomb shelter or go to the nearest safe place, let me tell you something. I almost didn't make it home from the Middle East because I almost was blown to smithereens by a terrorist attack. If it hadn't been a close friend asking me to grab some medicine, one day I would have been in the bombing of Tel Aviv of the Dizengoff Theater the same year that Blazing Saddles came out. I stood online
74.
With my... I think it was the 70s. It was, I lived in Israel from 73 to 75. So there you go.
We're Blazing Saddles fans. So.
Well, you know, Mel Brooks, you know, and you don't get the releases overseas as fast, of course, the American releases or movies. And, you know, we had heard about it from friends over, you know, from America that would write us, oh, when it comes there, you've got to get it. You've got to go see it. And trust me, it was well received because people stood in line for days to get tickets. A friend got us some tickets.
You couldn't make that movie today, Jane. You couldn't.
Oh, no. No. Well, it would be too politically incorrect. And that's how, what a shame we have become in a society. So, you know, here we are trying to increase the value of our country by letting people come to this country merit-based. What's wrong with that? Canada does it. Australia does it. Trump floated that idea and decided he wanted to try that as well. You know, nobody has called Canada or Australia homophobics. Nobody calls it a racist nation. No, but because Trump wants to do merit-based immigration, oh, well, he's a homophobe, he's a xenophobe, he's every phobe that you could think of and every bad and four-letter word you can think of. Excuse me. Having lived in countries with dictatorships, having lived in countries that you just, you know, look the wrong way and can get thrown in jail, let me tell you something. It's a good thing we have 196 about countries in this world. Only six of them about don't have immigration. They're so tiny. They're so glad when somebody comes across their border because it means some, you know, some gross domestic product maybe will increase. But, you know, they're small little tiny countries, okay? 98% of the countries in our world have immigration policies. But yet we don't hear anything about that from the left or the rabid Looney Tunes here, the malcontents who want to change our world and bring, you know, use other people's money until there's no more, courtesy of Margaret Thatcher, as she said. That's what's wrong with socialism. Use up everybody else's money
among
until there is
things,
no more.
Yes.
And
among other things. We're going to have to take a break in just a minute. I know you've agreed to stay at least one more segment, and I'm just delighted that you can. You're welcome to stay longer. What I'd like to move into is what your assessment is of where we're at, not just with the election fraud, which is massive, and a good many people are saying, nope, that doesn't exist. And what you think, well, not only what you think is going to happen January 6th, which is going to be a bigger deal, in my opinion, than when we knew the verdict was in with O.J. Simpson. I think people will be glued to their television trying, you know.
Well, if they're not glued to their television, they'll be at the Capitol.
So, and ultimately, I'm going to ask you who you think will be inaugurated in January. I'm not even saying January 20th. Because I don't know, nothing is normal these days. So stay with us, Jane Silk, a radio mogul, talk show host, businesswoman, and someone I enjoy working with. So we're going to be right back. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off. Stay tuned. There's a lot more when we come back.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
And welcome back to Spouting Off, my home show. If you'd like to listen to more Spouting Off, you can listen on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 1 p.m. Eastern out of Nashua, New Hampshire. It's the same show. You don't even have to live in Nashua, New Hampshire because, well, I don't. But it's the same show. It's live call-in talk radio, and you are always welcome to call. I am pleased to be talking to Well, one of my bosses, you can say, her name is Jane Silk, and she is the founder of Main Street Radio Network, and her husband is the longtime syndicated nationally syndicated talk show host, Alan Nathan. He does the Alan Nathan Show, and I'm privileged to fill in for him when I am asked. And when I'm asked, I say, yeah, baby, I would love to do that. Thanks.
Which is usually every week.
One or two days a week, and I just love that. It is fun. It is a pleasure and an honor to interview so many interesting guests. We are very topical on the Alan Nathan Show. We stay up with what's going on in the moment, and it's one of the babies of Jane Silk. Before we get to politics, that's all we do sometimes is talk politics. But Jane is a dog lover like I am. We just got a new puppy, and Jane just got a new puppy, and unfortunately one didn't quite make it. But we're both dealing with puppyhood. I've got one in the carrier right next to me, so he won't whine while I broadcast. What's your puppy's name again, Jane?
Well, his name is Elvis,
that's
a.k.a.
right.
Little Man.
See, I'm not sure I trust anybody that doesn't like dogs. I don't know.
It's like horses. Yeah. I don't trust anybody who doesn't like horses or dogs. They are singularly, next to elephants, one of the most intelligent animals there are. And dogs can smell fear and nastiness without even getting up close and personal with somebody. And the same thing with horses. I mean, if you're a nasty person and have a really mean temperament and get on the back of a horse, it's going to be short order before your butt lands on the ground. Trust me. I've seen it. I know I'm an equestrian. I ride. So, they're
Jane,
wonderful animals.
One of the things we can do for a truth test is put some of those politicians on a horse and see what happens.
Or put them in front of some dogs. Dogs will, if somebody comes up to a dog that, has some kind of bad mojo of some kind, a dog will pick that up and start barking or growling at it. And by the way, I was very, very blessed because having lost our puppy after 13 and a half years, who was a miracle puppy. I mean, saved, broke through cancer, and she was just an amazing, amazing animal, so smart, so loving. People used to come over and ask if she could babysit. She was born with four bad legs, yet you would never know, an indomitable spirit. But we were so crushed after that, and getting this other one, we were so lucky to find a breeder. The Queen of Puppy Love, actually, is for the name of her business, the Queen of Puppy Love. And
Well,
and this woman single-handedly has taken on the puppy mill industry, has repurposed, rehomed over 18,000 puppies, and has taken on some of the Amish clan who buy purebred dogs, then breed them to death, and literally kill them.
I encountered some of that in getting the puppy we have.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
Well, we won't get into that. We'll never get back. But,
No, we won't get back from it. I can't talk about it. It's too heartbreaking.
The Humane Society is not always so honest either. So
No, but that's why, do your research, folks. That's all. The Queen of Puppy Love, she's been a breeder for God knows how many decades. Yeah. An amazing woman out of Missouri, and you can find her on Facebook or what have you.
Let's go back before the break. Go ahead.
Very, very interesting that Trump came back from Mar-a-Lago, Florida, a day early. Very interesting that until his Christmas Eve message, there was about 18 hours you didn't see him on Twitter. Now, President Trump is a huge fan of Sun Tzu, the art of warfare.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yes.
And a quote that he goes by, "Let your plans be dark and impenetrable as night. And when you move, fall like a thunderbolt." Now, I don't believe, I really truly don't believe, as some suggested, even, sources tell me in the White House, and some of our sources have said, you know, people close to him, even including Mark Meadows, which I was so surprised at, you know, telling him to concede gracefully, you know, give up. I don't think this man put his family in a position for four years. I really, truly don't. And when he won by such a large margin over Hillary Clinton as far as Electoral College votes, and in this election, we know for a fact he won by a landslide because Come 94% of Biden's votes were over after midnight, okay? Trump won by had over 10 million more popular votes than he did the last time. Our House of Representatives on a federal level, not one incumbent was thrown out. State levels, not one state legislature was turned blue. And not one GOP legislature was overturned. It was it's a statistical impossibility for Biden to have won, and no way could Biden get 80 million popular votes more than President Obama or any president living or dead in this country. Please, this is a pedophile enabler who stood by and let his son molest and do worse to his own granddaughter. Tells his daughter-in-law, the woman who should have never gotten involved with her late husband's brother, how absolutely horrible, and this woman's karma, I don't even want to begin to think, was told to go ahead and seek professional help by her father-in-law instead of kicking her husband out. She did kick her husband out she did kick Hunter Biden out only after she found out he was cheating, not for the fact that he was molesting her 14-year-old daughter. So, and a man who plagiarizes. So I'm supposed to believe a third of Democrats said that they would have never voted for him if they knew the news. But I truly believe any American that really believes that this election was won fair and square, they either need their head examined or go back under that rock they came from and hold their breath, okay? Because I really don't believe they should be part of our society. I don't care who you are, how smart you are, how much money you have. That means nothing to me. Do you understand? Not one iota to me. Because if we don't stand up, I don't believe this man, I do believe he has a plan, whether it is to let Vice President Pence, who is the president of the Senate, who does have the power to not choose any electors from those states. Why? Because those seven states that have dueling electors went ahead and changed their election rules, some a month before our election and some 3 or 4 months before our election. They went ahead and changed those rules, the Secretary of State and governors, without their legislative body doing it. And in the Constitution of the United States, under no circumstances does anyone have the right or power in a state to change election rules but the representative of the people, which are the state legislatures. So here you have seven states that did that, okay? And where our Supreme Court, it just goes to show, we have seen what big money and big labels do. When I say big labels, whether you're a GOP or righty or lefty or whatever you hail from, between the elites of these parties, the big monies, we have now seen judges turn their back on the very thing that they swore to uphold, the Constitution and the rule of law.
And they have done that with the communist Chinese. That is coming out too.
We have a lot of people. Well, we know from what we understand, the Dominion voting machines, a Canadian company, all right, machines made in Spain, certain components from China with servers in Frankfurt. Okay? Now, excuse me, Trump was quite brilliant. He elaborated on Obama's executive order when he did his order in September 12, 2018, where basically from all sources inside and head military sources have said President Trump laid a big fat trap because he knew
he was ready
from the elections in Alabama from Mo Brooks in 2018 as well as Pete Sessions from Texas in 2018. Both those elections had been tampered with. Both those elections had fraud, election fraud with ballots.
It makes you wonder if Obama won a second term
at
all, doesn't it?
Apparently, according to Dennis Montgomery, who was the creator of the hammer, which was used, employed by the Obama administration from the CIA, FBI to change the results of the Venezuelan election for Chavez. The hammer was confiscated once the Obama administration left by officials of the former administration.
That should have been called a hammer and sickle, not just
a
hammer.
Well, it was called hammer was the computer and scorecard was the program. Scorecard. And according to sources, Obama won the 2012 election because the ballots were changed in the state of Florida.
You know, you have a wonderful command of these dates and facts, you know. It is wonderful to hear you talk. We're running out of time. You know, these segments are kind of short. And let's ask you the $62,000 question.
I would love to, but I can't. I am so sorry because...
that wasn't the question.
Oh, okay.
I know you got to go, so I'm not going to ask you to stay. I know you got to go. But who do you think is going to get inaugurated as the next president of the United States?
Well, I'm not a fatalist, so I'm going to say Trump, because I don't believe 80 million Americans locked and loaded... And when our representatives realize what's going on, and I believe that the president does have a plan, whether it's Mike Pence to throw out the electors and say, hey, we've got 232 to 222, you know, then so be it. So I don't know what Pence was doing by doing what he did with these courts. We're going to have to see. But we still have the Insurrection Act. And there are other cards to play. We don't know. Trump is keeping it close to the vest. And thank God there's no leaks. Although I am impatient, I'm excited to see what was going to happen. And I'm going to say the sitting president will be inaugurated whenever that is.
Yes.
Because I don't believe this country will allow this election to be stolen.
Now, if that doesn't make you happy, and I couldn't agree more, and I say hold on to your pantyhose, because the first couple of weeks in January are going to be incredible. We only have about a minute. Jane Silk is the proprietor and founder of Main Street Radio Network. I say it when I fill in for Alan Nathan all the time. Go to MainStreetRadioNetwork.com, and there you'll find the archives of the Alan Nathan Show, the Silk and Antrim Show. Jane is one half of the once-a-week show called Silk and Antrim. They're kind enough to post some of the op-eds that I write.
Post them. You go to Main Street Radio Network, you'll see Karen's op-eds on our blog section all the time. And if you know the dates that Karen has a show, go to our podcast at MainStreetRadioNetwork.com and go to our shows. Go to the Alan Nathan Show podcast page and go. You'll find the date that Karen was there, and you can listen to any of her shows that you missed.
Yeah, and a strong woman who knows her stuff. Thank you, Jane Silk, for joining us here on Spouting Off. And I
My honor. Thank you. Thank you very much, Karen.
Happy New Year
to you and yours. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
All right. When we come back, we're going to have open lines in the last 15 minutes of the show. If you'd like to join us, don't hesitate. It's 888-627-6008. You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. We'll be right back. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. I want to do a little bit of a in memoriam to someone that I got to know through doing talk radio. Actually, I was a caller way back when. I've had a long relationship with talk radio as a caller, as a host, as a host that didn't quite make it, and then got her own show, and on it goes. Once you love and you fall in love with radio, it's pretty much it. In all of that process, I met someone who sadly just passed on, and I just want to do a little bit of a memoriam to him. His name is Hugh McNulty, a Harvard lawyer. He never let us forget it. But he always reminded me of Charles Emerson Winchester III. He never was without a story. He was immensely bright. And you know, love him or hate him, he was a personality. And we lost him this week. And I just want to pay a little tribute to him. I invited him. He was just a caller. And I invited him down to the Western Conservative Summit because I wanted to meet regular callers, and he was the only one that showed up. And since then, we were kind of an on-again, off-again team of sorts. And it's fun to meet callers and find out what it is that attracts them to talk radio. In Hugh's case, he was kind of a semi-retired attorney, and he really made friends with talk radio, people of like minds. And I'll be talking just briefly on the Chuck and Julie show this afternoon about Hugh McNulty, since sometimes people kind of associated us one with the other. And so may he rest in peace, and Godspeed to him. So speaking of people who are not of like minds, sometimes I get tweaked on social media and sometimes I tweak back. It's fun. The only problem is leftists don't ever want to don't anymore much tolerate people of differing opinions. And it's odd because they used to, but they don't anymore. So there is, I'm not going to use his name because it's probably not even important, but if you really want to go to my Twitter feed, you'll find it there. There is a very, very hard left progressive activist leader, I guess you could say, in Colorado. And I follow him, but I've never interacted with him. And he knows, you know, he sort of follows what I'm doing occasionally, but we've never interacted together. And he posted something that was seemingly benign, and I just couldn't resist tweaking him. Maybe it's because this was all about manual transmissions instead of automatic transmission. And I've loved clutches. I've loved manual transmissions. In fact, bought a car that I really didn't like because I couldn't get a, it was the only one I could get a manual transmission. I ended up having to trade it in for a car I liked. And this is the first time, you know, because they are getting rid of manual transmissions because, of course, you know, we should all act alike, think alike, and be alike. And this is America. So here's what this gentleman wrote. It was just a little funny little tweet. Down with the manual transmission. I will now make it a life goal to eradicate ancient forms of technology like the godforsaken clutch. I just got a kick out of that. I knew he was partly kidding, but I used it as an excuse to tweak him. Thanks, sir, for illustrating the difference between right and left. If people on the right don't like clutches, they don't buy a car with one. On the left, they ban them for everyone. Once upon a time, liberals believed in different strokes for different folks. Not anymore. Or I should have said different shifts for different folks, but that's what it is. And it is so true that the left has made a complete about face, a complete turn. They used to rail against people who didn't believe in free speech. They were the first to come to the defense of people like Lenny Bruce. They were the ones who said, don't trust anyone over 30. question authority, be different, do your own thing, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Now they're the first ones to don a mask and try to force everyone else to do so, to snitch on their neighbors for the dumbest things. But, you know, you want to burn down Wendy's, that's okay. So here's what the man wrote back. And back in my day, conservatives had a sense of humor and could occasionally detect sarcasm and look for context. Looks like all that went out of fashion as well. Hey, by the way, how's the 3,235th attempt at recalling the governor going? Well, actually, there's been two, and I was a spokesperson for the first. But notice how he immediately backs off and says it was sarcasm, which is fine, but he didn't address the point that I made. So that's also what the left does. They never address the criticism. They go directly for the personal. They go for the jugular. And let's see, did I answer? I mean, this may not be as interesting to some people as it is to me, but these are the quality of the kind of conversations that we end up having with the left, because they've been enculturated and indoctrinated to believe that the people who disagree with them are evil. Not a fair disagreement, but they've actually bought into the notion that if you don't agree with them, you're racist, you're sexist, you're homophobic. And they don't realize that all those labels, which of course, again, they used to resist, and they used to say were terrible, they were racist stereotypes, but yet they engage in exactly the kind of stereotypes. All white people are bad. All white people are racists. Men are terrible, and they have toxicity because they're male. I mean, these are insane ideas, counter to everything the left used to believe. That being said, I use this as an example to point out that you have to fight back at this point. You have to call them on it, even if they don't respond. Other people see that. And as much as he was joking, and, you know, he probably is, he's going to make it his life's work to get rid of the clutch. Why does he need to get rid of all clutches? Why doesn't he just buy an automatic and call it good? And that therein lies the problem with authoritarianism. And we never thought that leftists were really authoritarians underneath it all. But they are. David Horowitz said, hiding inside every progressive is an authoritarian screaming to get out. That's one of his many great lines. And it is true. Now, we're going to take the last couple of minutes to talk to my friend and producer, Doug Newsom, owner, one half of the twin ownership of BBS Radio. We like to have a family affair here on Spouting Off, to see if he's changed his opinion of whether or not Donald Trump will get 4 more years or not. And if so, why or why not? Hi, Doug. Welcome to Spouting Off on the Air.
Hi.
You love that voice. So what are you thinking on this first day of January 2021? What are you expecting to happen on January 6th? Are you expecting something?
Pain. No. my brother and I truly believe that President Trump is going to win. In fact, we made a bet, $500, another network that believes just the opposite. So we kind of, I mean, you got to go there, because if you can't believe in that, I mean, what are you going to believe in the future?
Yeah, the alternative would be so much worse than losing $500 on a bet. That's
right.
How I feel too.
Right. I mean, we put it all out there. We really do. We really have faith that President Trump knows what he's doing. Even if he does, he's got so many bad apples. I mean, bad apples on the Republican side. I'm just so happy that the whole world gets to wake up to this craziness. I mean, it's the dawning of a new age. Even if President Trump doesn't get in, what he's shown us is the true nature of D.C. And, you know, you can't take that back. It's out there now. And things are going to change as a result. Maybe it becomes more, how do I put it? They're more troubling because you're going to have divisions of people that just right now hate each other. I mean, I personally find it very tough to even want to speak to a Democrat knowing that they know that I know that they are supporting this kind of craziness where they're actually stealing an election. So it makes me think, gosh, why would I even want ever speak to you again? Because I can never trust you because you trust untrustworthy people and you say that that's okay.
The only option you have is either to deny election fraud existed, which they're doing, or to say that it's perfectly okay and either it didn't make much difference, which is a pathetic position to take, that it's okay as long as it didn't make the difference in the election. The fact of the matter is it did make a difference in the election. Right. And because Donald Trump had worked so hard and had such, in my opinion, a landslide election, it made it that much more obvious because they had to cheat more than they ever expected they'd have to.
Right. God, so change your friends, change your universe. This is the year for it.
My producer, Doug, is telling me I got 1 minute before the end of the show. So I'm glad you got your thoughts in there.
Thank you.
I'm gonna just wrap it up here. Don't forget, if you will, don't hesitate to use this motto. I think mottos are important. Let justice be done in 2021. Because saying just off what Doug said, if we don't hold these people accountable, it will happen again. All of it will not only happen again, but all these people will get off scot-free, and this country will be an authoritarian dictatorship in no short order. This is for all the marbles. Anyway, have fun. Hold on to your pantyhose and don't forget another motto, chazak, which means strength. Thanks to the BBS boys and thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday for more Spouting Off.